More than a few events have triggered today's commentary. This is a bonus commentary this week. When I was a young man, my mother was attacked on the sidewalk by a young black man trying to steal her purse. He knocked her down and injured her back. That injury caused her back pain for the rest of her life. So which innocent black person should I hurt for revenge? Nobody, of course, because that innocent black person had nothing to do with my mother's injury. We would all do well to understand that rationale. While I credit Amrin.com, Chris Bodner in the Atlantic, and American Free Press for their help in my research today, my own comments come from the heart, a heart deeply concerned with where we find ourselves in America on race issues. In Minneapolis, a man named George Floyd died when four policemen clearly violated his rights. Video shows an officer with his knee on Floyd's throat while other officers held him down. He was handcuffed. Floyd was heard telling them he could not breathe. Unfortunately, the officers were white, and Floyd was black. And that became the story. All about race. Would it help if the officers had been black and the victim was white? This was, in my opinion, murder. And the skin color of those involved should not matter. There is no way to sugarcoat the scene we watched, nor would I try. The officers have all been fired, and justice will prevail in court. Unless that justice is denied, there is no excuse to continue to add to the misery with protest marches. As of 2018, there were 686,665 full-time police officers on duty in America. More than 500,000, and that does not include federal or state police. Should we be surprised that there are a few bad actors in that large number of people? When something horrendous like the killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis happens, it results in protests in the streets, which inevitably turn into burnings and lootings and violence. What does it accomplish? What is the purpose of protest marches? To bring attention to the problem. But there has been nothing but attention directed to this incident since the video surfaced. Nobody is trying to keep the news hidden. It's there, on video, for all to see and featured widely in the news. Under our laws, the next step would be the indictment of those responsible for the senseless death of Floyd, with punishment to follow. Not vigilante justice in the streets. What I'm going to say today is controversial. For speaking the truth, I will be attacked by extremist whites and extremist blacks. I'll be called a racist and a bigot. But race is the elephant in the room in America, and we cannot ignore where the division between the races is taking us. Peacefully protesting a horrendous event honors the victim, but it dishonors the victim when the so-called protesters start fires and loot neighborhood stores. Many of these so-called protesters were bussed in to launch the arson and looting by the likes of white anti-American billionaires like George Soros. Many of those arrested were from out of state, but not all. While a large number of white people joined the protests, videos show that those looting the stores were overwhelmingly black. They used Floyd's death to stock up on TV sets, groceries, and booze. When a black man is killed by police, or a white man for that matter, the investigation must be thorough and justice as swift as possible. If the investigation moves too quickly, and an arrest is made before all the facts are known, the guilty may get off on a technicality at court. The incident between Minneapolis police and George Floyd happens too often in this country. The answer is not found on the streets with lighted torches. While the great majority of police officers are good people trying to protect all of us, It is time for those good officers to speak up against others in blue who they know to be bad cops. Police chiefs across the country need to do a better job of culling any bad cop on their force before these incidents happen. It is inevitable that riots and looting will follow such an event, and so cities and states should immediately declare a curfew and arrest those who gather to loot and burn. The penalty for participation in a riot must be made more severe. Anybody engaging in such riots should serve a minimum of 90 days in jail. When they see violence beginning, if you are a peaceful protester, you should leave the area. If involved in looting, burning, or violence, the penalty should fit the crime. To allow them to get away with sacking stores and burning businesses in the neighborhood just invites more hoodlums to follow suit. Don't wait for the first store to be robbed or burned. You know it's coming. Prevent it. Democrats, of course, blame President Trump for inciting people to kill looters, but he did no such thing. It's another Democrat lie for political reasons. What Trump said was that when looting happens, shooting follows. He is right. There have already been innocent people shot, not by police, but by these rioters. In Dallas, anarchists ambushed the police. 12 officers were shot. 5 officers were killed. In Chicago last weekend, 82 people were shot. 19 people were killed. The shooters were black, as were the victims. Trump was right. When these riots, looting, and burning starts, shootings follow. Democrats are playing politics with people's lives, just as they did with COVID-19. Nothing is beneath them. Nancy Pelosi is the most evil woman since Salome demanded John the Baptist's head on a platter. For more than 150 years, the United States has been conducting an experiment. The subjects of that experiment, black people and working class whites. Acting on a policy that was not fair to either group, the government released newly freed black people into a white society that saw them as inferior. America has struggled with racial discord ever since. Some thought that what W.E.B. Du Bois meant when he called the talented 10th to the front, that it would lead the way for black people. A group of elite, educated blacks would knock down the doors of opportunity and show the world what blacks were capable of. There is a talented 10th. They are black Americans who have become entrepreneurs, lawyers, doctors, and scientists. But 10% is not enough for the experiment to work. The 10% has to be followed by a critical mass of people who can hold middle-class jobs and promote social stability. That is what is missing. Through the years, too many black people have accepted the role of victim and grew dependent upon government. Detroit is bankrupt. The South Side of Chicago, a war zone. And majority black-run cities all over America are beset by degeneracy and violence. Across the generations and across the country, as we have seen in Detroit, Watts, Newark, Los Angeles, St. Louis, Cincinnati, Ferguson, and now Minneapolis, rioting, arson, and looting are just one racial incident away. But nothing changes, no matter how much money is spent, no matter how many laws are passed, or who is president. Some argue it's a problem of culture, as if culture creates people's behavior instead of the other way around. Others blame so-called white privilege. But since 1965, when the liberal elites opened America's doors to the Third World, immigrants from Asia and India, people who are not white, not rich, and not connected, have quietly succeeded in America. Blacks from Jamaica and other regions have come here and quickly surpassed native-born blacks in America. While the children of these legal immigrants are winning spelling bees and getting top scores on the SAT, black youths are committing half the country's violent crime. Crimes which include viciously punching random white people on the streets for the thrill of it. That has nothing to do with poverty. The experiment has failed, not because of culture or white privilege or racism. I personally believe that black people are as capable of excelling as whites, and we've been shown that in many cases. The problem is found in their own neighborhoods. Modern-day black activists require other black people to be black first and foremost. That is, to tote around the eons of tortured black history as if that history is current day, while denying who they are as individuals. Black people desire equal rights, to be sure, and rightly so. But when young black people go to racially mixed high schools and colleges, why are those young black people required to only support black student organizations? The worst of that aspect is being a black college student in America with the judgments that happen in those organizations. You ain't black enough. Those who excel in their studies are asked, "How come you trying to be white?" It is hard to understand how black people are so quick to recognize racism as directed towards them from whites, Latinos, Asians, etc., and fail to see the racism that exists within their own race. Am I suggesting today that the fault in America lies just with black America? Absolutely not. There has always been, and there always will be, white racists among us. It is impossible to cleanse the hate from every soul. One witness, or weakness rather, of humankind is that some people have to say someone else is inferior. They need somebody to look down upon, someone less worthy than themselves in their own tortured minds. I readily acknowledge the acts of inhumanity of a small minority of whites who practice racism, just as I realize that it is not the majority of blacks who practice racism. When a tragedy happens, such as the killing of a black man by white police officers in Minneapolis, the media hypes the incident. We do need to know about it. But hate crimes against whites are not covered the same by our liberal media. Just recently, video surfaced of a black man repeatedly assaulting an innocent elderly white man who was in a bed at a nursing home. That barely made the news, and no white people rioted over it. Other black people were not blamed for the actions of that one assailant. While most Americans are aware of the Trayvon Martin shooting in Sanford, Florida on February 26, 2012, very few know about the thousands of whites who have been brutally murdered, raped, beaten, and robbed by blacks since that time. The media downplays such news. Are the lives of those innocent white Americans not important enough to report on? Or is the liberal media purposely inciting racial tensions for a reason? The mainstream media has been virtually silent on atrocious crimes committed by blacks on whites since the Martin shooting. Here are just a few among dozens of incidents that deserved news reporting and public condemnation. On the day after the Martin shooting, two black males in Detroit abducted and killed a white couple. The victims were found, bound, shot, and burned beyond recognition in an alley. Police call it a random thrill killing. In Kansas City, two black teens attacked a 13-year-old white boy on his front porch as he was returning from school. They poured gasoline on him and set him on fire for no apparent reason. On March 14, after the Martin shooting, a 20-year-old black man broke into the home of Bob and Nancy Strait in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He raped the 85-year-old white woman and then beat her to death. He then shot Mr. Strait in the face with a pellet gun and broke his jaw and ribs. The victim died several days later. Then in Jackson, Mississippi, a 31-year-old black man broke into a house to rob it and found a white woman inside. He forced her to lie on the floor with a blanket over her head as he shot her in the back of the head, execution style. In Tunica, Mississippi, a 34-year-old black man checked into a hotel with his pregnant white 25-year-old girlfriend and their 1-year-old child. The next day, the woman was found dead on the floor, brutally mutilated and covered with blood, as was the 1-year-old child. In Las Vegas, a 22-year-old black man raped a 38-year-old white woman and her 10-year-old daughter. He then killed them both by smashing their skulls with a hammer. There are far more of these incidents to report, but you get the picture. On top of all these brutal murders, there have been a large number of flash mob attacks across the country, where anywhere from half a dozen to as many as 100 blacks gang up on innocent people and beat them senseless. In most of these cases, the blacks have cited revenge for the shooting of Martin or others as the motive for their savagery. Although in many cases, the victims were also robbed. One of those attacks occurred in Norfolk, Virginia, where more than 30 blacks brutally beat a white couple as another 70 blacks watched and cheered them on. A typical phenomenon in these black-on-white flash mob attacks. The stark difference in all of this is that whites did not take to the streets, burn businesses, loot stores, or strike out senselessly at innocent black people in some perverted sense of revenge. My purpose in reporting all of this is to point out that racism flows both ways. When practiced by whites, none of us should approve of it, nor should anybody approve of it when practiced by blacks. All of this has to be kept in perspective. When the senseless tragedy in Minneapolis happened, I said on Facebook that I joined with all people, black and white, to condemn the actions of the police. A radical black man in Winston-Salem fired back with name-calling, citing my white skin color, and lamented the fact that 30 million slaves had been killed in America, and somehow I should be ashamed of that as if I was involved. He was obviously delusional and hate-filled. He is also wrong. Henry Louis Gates, Jr. is a black liberal professor at Harvard, and he answered the question of how many slaves landed in the United States on PBS. He said this, quote, "The most comprehensive analysis of shipping records over the course of the slave trade is the Transatlantic Slave Trade Database. Between 1525 and 1866, in the entire history of the slave trade in the New World, according to the database, 12.5 million Africans were shipped to the New World. 10.7 million survived the dreaded Middle Passage, disembarking in North America, the Caribbean, and South America. And how many of these 10.7 million Africans were shipped directly to North America? Only about 388,000. That's right, a tiny percentage. One person enslaved is too many, but far from 30 million. Slavery is often used as an excuse for the violence today, but this ongoing attempt to pin savagery of slavery exclusively on the United States or on white people is totally misguided. The United States is 244 years old. The first slavery is recorded in 6800 B.C., almost 9,000 years ago. That's when the first city-state emerged in Mesopotamia. Land ownership in the early stages of technology brought war, in which enemies were captured and forced to work as slaves. The practice of slavery then originated in Africa. thousands of years before America even became a country. Should white people in America seek revenge upon blacks for introducing slavery to the world? Obviously not. Far too late, but better late than never, most nations around the world recognized slavery for the evil it is and banned it. The United States was one of those countries. In fact, a civil war was fought among Americans, and more than 600,000 white soldiers died in the war to end slavery. Meanwhile, in Mother Africa and in many Muslim countries, slavery still flourishes today. Why no outrage from black people to put an end to that suffering? Do those black lives not matter? Instead, as I write this, more protests and rioting broke out in New York, Washington, Atlanta, and other American cities over the Minnesota killing. Doubtless other cities will see the chaos come to them as well. Protesters carry signs proclaiming that black lives matter. I certainly agree with that. But do they only matter when the life is taken by a white person? Do black lives not matter in Chicago, where over Memorial Day, 10 black lives were lost and 39 others shot by black people? That happens there almost every weekend. Do black lives not matter when taken by a black killer? Where are the protesters in Chicago? Of course justice must be served for George Floyd. Those protesters who are encouraging riots claim that justice is not moving quickly enough. But remember, when a black Somali policeman killed a young white woman in Minneapolis a few years ago, it took more than 8 months to see that black cop arrested. There were no riots, shootings, or burnings. Then, it just wasn't done. To my mind, having watched the painful videos of George Floyd's suffering, I believe that the officer kneeling with his knee on Floyd's throat caused his death, and the other three officers who did nothing to stop the deranged officer should be charged with abetting the crime. In fact, the officer who kept his knee and body weight on the neck of George Floyd has already been arrested and charged with third-degree murder and manslaughter. He was arrested after just 3 days, not months. In 19 years on the Minneapolis police force, this man had 18 complaints filed against him. But here's where the courts take over. What I believe, or what the protesters believe, has no bearing on the case. Until the good black people and good white people in America learn to work together to weed out the bad people of each race from among us, chaos and pandemonium will continue to plague us. I am personally proud of my record of fairness with black America. I was not raised to hate. I don't fail to recognize the white people among us who contribute to our race problems just because their skin is the color of mine. But it is also important to understand that black Americans must do the same. The good people among us of both skin colors must stand together against the bad people rather than divide into black or white camps, totally based on the color of skin. God gave us a beautiful world to live in, and we seem determined to destroy it. We live in a technicolor world, but many among us want to make it black and white. We must not allow them to take us there. As a white man, I am appalled at what happened in Minneapolis. I want to see the changes that will stop it. I will keep my hand outstretched to all black people of goodwill. I only ask to be welcomed by them in return. Our country is going through an amazing time. We're wrestling with COVID-19. That virus is causing pandemonium in our country. People are out of work. People are hurting. People are struggling just to put food on the table to feed their families. And in the midst of that, we have this mess that occurred in Minneapolis. There was no excuse for that. George Floyd had been controlled. Some say he tried to resist arrest early on. That's beside the point. If he did, he was controlled by four policemen. They took him to the pavement. They handcuffed his hands behind his back. Three of them were watching him, and then two were watching him. Another was standing watching the policeman with his knee on Floyd's neck. That policeman knew he was being filmed, and he looked directly in the camera with a sneer on his face. We all heard Floyd saying he could not breathe. The policeman heard it too, but he continued to keep his knee on the man's throat. Whether that killed him or not, the autopsy says that wasn't the prime reason. It certainly brought on the prime reason. So none of us can excuse what has happened. But marching in the streets with 2x4s, guns, gasoline, and matches isn't going to change anything. If anything, it takes away from the attention we should be putting on what happened to George Floyd. So I ask you all to join with me in getting past this business of I'm white, you're black, I'm white. We're human beings. God made us all. Until we learn to accept the fact that we need to get along with one another, that we need to treat one another the way we are treated, we're going to continue to have this mess. They blame it now on Trump, Democrats do. It wasn't Trump at all. They've been there for decades and haven't changed it. Thanks for listening. I'll be back again next week, God willing. Same time and same station.